Anhamanava Kunjavihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Jaya Gopi Janavallabha Girivaradhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Shyam Sundara, Radha Shyam Sundara. Jaya Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram. Jaya Gauranitai, 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 Jaya Gauranitai.
Jaya Om Vishnupada Paramahansa Parivrajakacharya Astu Tarasata Shri Srimad Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sri Grantaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Class Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bo. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. We're reading from third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 15. And the verse today is 15? 13. Okay.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Taikada Bhagavato Vaikuntasya Malatmana Yayur Vaikunta Nilayam Sarva Loka Namaskritam Taikada Bhagavato Vaikuntasya Malatmana Yayur Vaikunta Nilayam Sarva Loka Namaskritam. Please chant. Taikada Bhagavato
They, ekada, once upon a time, Bhagavata, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vaikuntasya, of Lord Vishnu, Amala Atmana, being freed from all material contamination, Yayu entered Vaikunta Nilayam, the abode named Vaikunta. Sarvaloka, by the residence of all the material planets. Namaskritam, worshipped. Translation. After thus traveling all over the universes, they also entered into the spiritual sky, for they were freed from all material contamination. In the spiritual sky, there are spiritual planets known as Vaikuntas, which are the residence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His pure devotees, and are worshipped by the residents of all the material planets. Please repeat. After thus traveling all over the universes, they also entered into the spiritual sky,
For they were freed from all material contamination. In the spiritual sky, there are spiritual planets known as Vaikunthas, which are the residence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His pure devotees, and are worshipped by the residents of all the material planets. That was a long sentence. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Ki Jai. The material world is full of cares and anxieties. In any one of the planets, beginning from the highest down to the lowest, Patala, every living creature must be full of cares and anxieties, because in the material planets one cannot live eternally. The living entities, however, are actually eternal. They want an eternal home, an eternal residence, but because of accepting a temporal abode in the material world, they are naturally full of anxiety. In the spiritual sky, the planets are called Vaikuntha, because the residents of these planets are free from all anxieties. For them, there is no question of birth, death, old age, and diseases, and therefore they are not anxious. On the other hand, the residents of the material planets are always afraid of birth, death, disease, and old age, and therefore they are full of anxieties. Om jnana timrandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Nama om Vishnu padaya Krishna prashtaya bhutale shrimate bhakti vedanta swaminiti namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashtatya Deshatarini Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaurav Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In his introduction, or the early verses of Chaitanya Bhagavat, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, he is glorifying Nityananda Prabhu, who is his guru. And in that section, he writes a wonderful verse where he says that, I offer my obeisances to every single Vaishnava because it's by their mercy that I can glorify the Lord. And I just thought of that in hearing about the devotees who we prayed for this morning, who are having some various health issues. We pray for their well-being, and we also hope that they remain for our well-being. That's the beauty of sadhu sangha. This section of the Srimad Bhagavatam is, as we all know, regarding the very initial stages of our most favorite pastimes of the Lord, Lord Nrsimhadev, and the various appearances of Jai and Vijay. After now we've heard extensively about the activities of Diti and Kashyapa, we understand that the pregnancy of Diti is causing a disturbance to the demigods, and they approach Lord Brahma inquiring, as they often do. This is the glory of the demigods, even though they aren't pure devotees, but when they are disturbed, they always approach the Lord and His devotees. So this is where we are following in their footsteps, their example, that also we're hearing about the anxieties of the material world. That when those anxieties come, we immediately approach the Lord and His devotees. So the demigods, this is what they do. So they went to Lord Brahma. You please tell us what's going on. Why is the universe shaking? And of course, it's because the womb of deities holding a great demon. And she doesn't want to release that demon into the world, so she holds her pregnancy for 100 years. And so now we are getting closer and closer to the appearance of these great demons. So Lord Brahma, he begins, because he knows, and it's explained previously, because of his exalted position as a servant of the Lord, and particularly in his role as, you know, the manager of the universe, that he knows what's going on. He understands. He's seeing. And so he's pacifying the demigods by explaining to them. But he starts all the way back from the four Kumaras, who, upon entering the abode of the Lord, are stopped, as we'll hear in the future, by Jaya and Vijaya. But this particular section, what first came to mind is we're hearing about the incarnations of the Lord, and I wanted to quickly read a little bit from that section in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, where after the sages inquire at Naimisharanya about the incarnations of the Lord, then this answer is given. Thus the Lord of the universes maintains all planets inhabited by demigods, men, and lower animals. Assuming the roles of incarnations, he performs pastimes to reclaim those in the mode of pure goodness. So they ask, tell us about the Lord's incarnations. What's the purpose? Why does he come? And this is the answer. He performs pastimes to reclaim those in the mode of pure goodness. And Srila Prabhupada gives a beautiful purport to this verse where he's explaining that the Lord actually incarnates in all of the universes for this purpose, not just ours, and not just on the earthly planet. And there's a really beautiful line that I wanted to read word for word. Which has to do with this purport that we just read. Sometimes he incarnates himself or empowers a suitable living being to act for him, but in either case the purpose is the same. The Lord wants the suffering living being to go back home, back to Godhead. The happiness which the living beings are hankering for is not to be found within any corner of the innumerable universes and material planets. The eternal happiness which the living being wants is obtainable in the kingdom of God. So, in this purport that we're reading today, this is what Srila Prabhupada speaks about. Why is there anxiety? It's because it's temporary. Anxiety is always there because I have it, but soon I'll lose it. Right? Like, you lose your keys, anxiety. Right, you lose money, anxiety. We're constantly coming in contact with the fragility of our existence every day. And because the soul is eternal, it's a direct opposite in nature to who we are. So we're constantly being frustrated, which we all know, we've all experienced it. But in this context, it's that when the Lord appears, it is for the purpose of reminding us of our eternal relationship with him in that eternal world. And so this is the first information that we get about the Vaikuntha planets, is that because they are eternal, there's no anxiety, because there's no loss. And the happiness that we are searching for there is eternally there to be enjoyed, to be found. And of course, the enjoyment there is not like our enjoyment. The enjoyment there is service to the Lord. This is actually one of the few times that I've like really gotten into studying Vaikuntha, because a lot of the time we hear about Vrindavan, of course, that Krishna and Balaram and Mother Yashoda, and we don't often hear so much about Vaikuntha. And it was nice to kind of study this section because Prabhupada explains that they also are pure devotees. It's a different mood, but they are completely engaged and completely absorbed in service to the Lord. And in one of the purports, it's a beautiful description. We'll hear more as the verses go on of the Vaikuntha planets, but one that really stood out was even there's a beautiful, cool breeze in the Vaikunthas, right? Because there's no suffering, there's no anxiety. But the residents of Vaikuntha, they consider that breeze to be a disturbance because it's pleasurable and they don't want to enjoy for themselves. They only want to serve the Lord. So it's, you think of the heavenly planets, which are very enjoyable, but the residents there are enjoying it for themselves. They've accumulated so much pious credit. It's like, you know, you save up money and then you get to go to Disney World. But you're spending the money you saved. It's not eternal. Soon you'll run out and you have to go back to work. So it's the same with the heavenly planets. You can spend some time there and then you cash out all of your tokens and you have to go back. And the key there is that because we're still trying to enjoy, then it's not eternal, as we're hearing right now. So the Vaikuntha planets, the spiritual sky, free from all anxieties, because we're no longer identifying with the body, the mind, and we're free from passion and ignorance, which we'll hear about more again in the further sections. So in this, I wanted to jump quickly to this first canto, second chapter purport that I was reading from earlier. Because I thought that I wanted to kind of speak a little bit about the Lord's appearance in this world. Sometimes in reading the Bhagavatam, it can be a little bit confusing because it's not strictly chronological, that it's all going in order. And the pastimes are spoken about from many different perspectives. What was really interesting in the earlier verses was we're hearing a lot about procreation and about family life and about the dynamic between Kashyapa and Diti. And then now we're hearing about the four Kumaras who are renunciates and who never had any kind of family life. So it's always coming from different angles, but the thread throughout the Bhagavatam is the activities of the Lord and his devotees. And so I thought it was interesting that when the demigods approach Lord Brahma and inquire about why the universe is being disturbed, he chooses to start from here. He chooses to speak about the four Kumaras, his sons, and their interaction with the Lord. Because again, it's about the Lord and his devotees. And when the Lord appears, because he's perfect and everything that he does is perfect, every aspect of his appearance we can meditate upon and relish. And particularly because his pastimes take place with his devotees, we can also meditate upon and relish the activities of his devotees. So it's a full meditation. All the different aspects are perfectly arranged in such a way for the purpose that we can remember him. What's mentioned in this purport, Prabhupada explains that because the Vaikunthas are beyond the material universes and beyond material conception, we don't actually have the ability to understand it on our own because we're conditioned, because we're covered over by passion and ignorance and identification with the body, etc., etc. So he says, just like you can understand a faraway place that you've never been to only by, for example, reading an authorized book, right? Like, you've never been to the Sahara, so you read about it in National Geographic, or you see a documentary. So for us, having no ability to go to the Vaikuntha planets, he says, in order to understand, we hear from authorized scriptures. And in our case, as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, authorized scriptures consist mainly of the Lord and his activities with his devotees. Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, is a conversation between the Lord and his devotee. Chaitanya Charitamrita is the activities of the Lord and his devotees. And so those pastimes in them are the keys by which we can gain entry to the spiritual sky. The four Kumaras, it's also an interesting... It's interesting because we think, how is it that these four saints, if they gained entry to Vaikuntha, it means they were free from passion and ignorance. Why did they get angry at Jaya and Vijaya? There's always nuance to the pastimes that captures the mind. And a lot of the classes around Kashyapa and Diti, there was a lot of interesting discussion around the statement that this was all according to the Lord's desire. And externally, it seems like, how could the Lord desire for a demon to enter? How could the Lord desire for Diti and Kashyapa to procreate at the wrong time? And I was listening to the lectures every day at home. I wasn't always here. But there was a lot of really wonderful lectures because there's so much nuance, and different devotees would speak about the pastime from different perspective. One week Maharaj would speak about the nature of activities in this world and following according to Dharma. And then another week somebody would speak about it's understandable why Diti and Kashyapa went through what they went through. And so the pastimes of the Lord are specifically meant for relishing, remembering, and discussing. And I thought that was a beautiful angle because it shows how much the Lord is invested in our, you could say, salvation, and really in our enlightenment and our freedom from the anxieties of temporary existence. The pastimes, for example, of Lord Ramachandra, which happened millions of years ago, we are still talking about today. So that's the Lord's special arrangement for us. And so in this particular case, it's not just that Lord Nrisingadeva appears and he says, well, I'm Lord Nrisingadeva and I'm here, so it's the best. But he takes all of these different ways and he goes through all these different avenues just so that it captures the mind of his devotees. Srila Prabhupada would say, and we're kind of going into a little bit of a different topic here, because speaking about entry into Vaikuntha and the qualification of the four Kumaras, who it's going to be mentioning in the next couple of verses, were especially qualified to travel throughout the universe. The reason why is because, of course, freedom from passion and ignorance. And so Srila Prabhupada would speak about evolution and how we also believe in evolution, but it's evolution of consciousness. So this here, evolution of consciousness, that is how one is able to traverse the layers of material existence. You think of someone like Narada Muni or Gopakumar. The limitations on the living being are not the change or the progression of a living being is not a progression of the body, but a progression of consciousness. Entry into the Vaikuntha planets is not a question of a physical qualification, but of a transcendental qualification. A lot of the progression in spiritual life in day to day is that it's coming from chanting japa, it's coming from performing devotional service, which is directly affecting our consciousness, cleansing of the heart, cheto darpana marjanam. And so the practice of Krishna consciousness, that's really where that journey is taking place. It's internal. And all of the daily activities that we're performing, devotional service, is for that purpose of cleansing the heart. So these living beings, these exalted living beings, they have perfected themselves to a stage where they are no longer restricted in any way by the material energy. And that's why they have this ability to go here and there. And because they are absorbed in service to the Lord, when they do travel, it is always for spreading the glories of the Lord. Narada Muni is a wonderful example of that. Sometimes when we live in a human body, in a community, right, where a lot of the aspects of our life seemingly externally have a lot to do with our body, right? Having a family, having a home, having a job. It can sometimes be, and I've found this especially recently, it can be a little overwhelming to be always in touch with and being reminded of this internal progression of spiritual life. Because in the material world, progression seems like, you know, first I'm renting, then I own a house, then I own, you know, my dream car, then, you know, even in our community, maybe now I hold this role in the community, or now I am progressing to, you know, a bigger role in the community, or things like that. Or at work, you know, I get a promotion at work. So the material world, there's always what seems like progression. But because it's temporary, it's illusory, it's not actually us going through those changes. The real changes that we go through in our limited time in the material world is changes of consciousness. And that's why Prabhupada would often say, you can become a pure devotee at any moment, because it has nothing to do with your external situation. It's everything to do with our relationship with Krishna as an eternal jiva, eternal living entity. And this reminder is necessary because time goes by so quickly. Our life is so short. And even in our short life, we may not even live the full extent that's allotted to us. We may get sick, right? Disease. And then of that time we spend, whatever that statistic of how much time we spend sleeping. And then you spend so much time working. And then you spend so much time studying. So there's even less time. And a lot of people are aware of that, but it's not, they don't know what to do about it. And it's right here. Why are you feeling stressed out? Why are you feeling so much anxiety? Because you're eternal. So how can an eternal living being feel satisfied with a temporary pleasure or a temporary facility or a temporary reward? There's an interesting kind of study of poets and like authors, and saying how very intelligent or artistic people tend to be prone to depression because they are not interested at all in material fulfillment. People like Vincent van Gogh, they have some inkling that there is more to life than what's externally on the surface, you know, big position in society or whatever it is, having a lot of money. And because they are interested in something beyond, but they don't know the answer. You know, as someone who's very intellectual, you want to know the answers to the meaning of the world, but because they can't figure it out, then they often become depressed. I thought that was really interesting because in Krishna consciousness, art and literature are directly connected to God. But outside of that, very often, they don't make it all the way. So they say, there's something beautiful in this world, but I can't figure out what it is, and nobody else seems to care. So then they become depressed. And a lot of people actually, they will get to a point where they know that there's more to life, but because they can't find the answer, then often they just kind of go back into whatever condition of life they were in. This is something that you find a lot in the world. Like if you go out and you talk to people, a lot of people are doing what they do just because it gives them some kind of meaning. You know, I take care of my family, I raise my kids, I do well at work. But it's not, you can see visibly, it's a tangible experience that they're not really fulfilled. And of course, we know that philosophically, but it's been on my mind a lot because now I'm in the workplace and I speak to non-devotee people every day, all day. And when you work in the jewelry business, there's a lot of relationship because it's, you know, it's a big investment. They're spending a lot of money. And so they're really interested in developing a relationship with you. So you learn a lot about people. You learn a lot about their life. And a lot of people, that's where they're at. They look for some kind of justification for what they're doing. And most of the time it's family or work related. But the anxiety is always there that this will not remain. I will lose this. The COVID pandemic was a big wake-up call for a lot of people, and a lot of people in spiritual circles thought it was a kind of a spiritual awakening of sorts because it directly shook that foundation that my job will always take care of me. And because you know, everybody was unable to work all of a sudden, it shook a lot of people to their core. Oh my God, I thought that this would be my forever security blanket, and that it being taken away so easily actually opened a lot of people's minds to a spiritual reality. So the devotees of the Lord who are preaching the glories of the Lord, they have this responsibility not only to study and understand the pastimes of the Lord for their own benefit, but also to share with those who have no idea. That's all of us are here because someone shared with us. And then we share with others. And this is a little bit of the explanation why. Because of the temporary nature of the material existence and the need for knowledge of the spiritual reality. Because the knowledge is the key. Because we are not ready to gain entry or perceive the spiritual reality, first we have to hear. And by hearing about the spiritual reality, and it's even mentioned in this purport, we develop a desire for the spiritual reality. And that's one of the key points here in the context of hearing about the Lord and the meaning behind the Lord's pastimes. It's not just so that we can hear about the pastimes, but actually it's also so that we can develop a desire to have a relationship with Krishna. When the Lord appears, this is another reason why he takes so many interesting and unique ways of appearing, is because by doing so, in capturing the mind of the devotees, we are naturally attracted. How sweet it is that Lord Narasimhadev appeared for his devotee Prahlad. Maybe he will also come and take care of me. Right? That feeling starts to awaken in the heart. Oh, just see how the Lord is so kind to his devotees. Actually, maybe it would be a nice thing to have a relationship with him. The progression of spiritual life is a progression of love, a development of a loving relationship. And sometimes we hear the pastimes and we think, yes, I've heard this one, you know, already. Who hasn't heard the pastime of Lord Nrisimhadev? Who hasn't heard the pastime of Jai and Vijay? But if our heart isn't softening and our love isn't deepening for the Lord, then it means that we need to take inventory of the quality of our hearing, because that's also the goal. The sweetness, the love of the Lord is being broadcasted through the scriptures and the description of the pastimes of the Lord. And in this purport, Prabhupada speaks about the importance of the Vedas and the scriptures for the purpose of hearing these pastimes, an authorized and bona fide source, so that we can be directly in contact with the Lord through his pastimes, through hearing from his devotees about his activities. So the last thing, the last point here that I have is, in addition to the Lord's pastimes being for the purpose of reclaiming the living entities back to the spiritual sky, to capture the attraction and the attention of the devotees so that they, or the living entities, so that they are interested in and desiring to having a relationship with the Lord, then also the scriptures serve that purpose. Prabhupada says, my books will be the law books, right? Why? Because they are speaking about the Lord and the desires of the Lord for us. And so the last point there is that the Vaishnavas have gone through great effort, like Srila Prabhupada, who wrote so many books and spent constant hours upon hours upon hours recording, writing these books for our benefit. And today we are hearing about what that benefit is becoming freed from the anxieties of temporary existence. So I will stop there. Yes, so any comments or questions or corrections?
Thank you for your nice lecture. We all came from Vaikuntha, where the place is the most beautiful, happiness, no distress, no old age, no death. But why there's room for us to be fall again in this material world?
I don't think I can answer this question. We have to ask someone more qualified. This is a whole, not only a new lecture, but a new series of lectures. Yeah, but it's an important question. That's why it would take so much time. Yes.
Thank you very much for your class. You used the word capture, and the word captured my attention. I was thinking that Krishna, when he has his pastimes, you were mentioning that there are things, the questions come to your mind, and you know it captures us. So the idea is that Krishna wants us to, he wants our mind to be captured, and we think about these things. Oh, how is that the how were they able to go to Vaikuntha? Or there's so many things, you know, so many things. Or Prabhupada says so many things in the purpose that it captures our attention. Is it by discussing those nuances, those controversies, whatever they may be, is to eventually have attraction? Is that what happens when we're captured by certain statements or pastimes? Basically, could you elaborate on how being captured helps us to develop a relationship with Krishna and our heart to become softened? And yeah, how does that happen?
In the introduction to Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada speaks about who can understand this book, Bhagavad Gita. And he says that in order to begin to read or study Bhagavad Gita, the reader has to have at least the theological or theoretical acceptance that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So first, we have to have that faith, right? You think about Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya. Nothing can happen without first that faith. So hearing about God, about the activities of God, that is the initial purpose. That first you have to have that faith that Krishna is supreme and that I have a relationship with him. Then from there, then develops various stages of relationship. And the initial stages are first that God is someone that I should serve. And so the first cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam are establishing that. Krishna is the maintainer of the universe. He is the original creator. It's not Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is his servant. Krishna is the maintainer. Krishna is the destroyer also. First, we have that understanding. And when that faith is there, that yes, Krishna is God and I should serve him, then the heart can begin to open to the attraction to the Lord or potential to serve the Lord in some kind of loving relationship. So the activities of the Lord are in different ways addressing those various coverings that we have. And by breaking through those various layers, by approaching this in a mood of servitude, then we can begin to develop an attraction. And so what happens is the Lord's pastimes are multifaceted. Sometimes he does many different things at once, where he comes as the master of the universe, and then he comes again as Nrisingadev. And even in the pastime of Nrisingadev, he's, you know, the hairs are intercepting planes and in the universe, in the sky, and he's causing fear to the whole universe. And so there is this awe and reverence aspect. But at the same time, then he's patting the head of Prahlad Maharaj, right? So it's not that one pastime is for one purpose, but the Lord captures these different aspects of, or you can say, these different requisites for serving him in his pastimes. They're all there. And so by studying the pastimes, that's what's happening. I'm sure there are definitely more beautiful answers in amongst the devotees in the room, but that's what came to my mind.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the nice class. I was just thinking about that, a part of the purport that you were reading, where Srila Prabhupada said there's no happiness in any corner of anywhere in this material world, and it's just such a like stark reality. I was just thinking that's the importance of regularly hearing, you know, because it's so easy to forget. And it's just like when I am experiencing frustration, it's nice to remember some, you know, a phrase like that, that there's just sometimes that's just the way that it is, and to not necessarily have that expectation that something is supposed to be better than it is. I don't know if that makes sense. And what was the other thing? Oh, just how you were saying that the sages, the four Kumaras, like it could be posed, well, how is it, why would they get angry? And then, and I was also thinking, well, how, and is, what is the need for gatekeepers in Vaikuntha? And I'm just wondering.
Yeah, it's also a good question that I don't have the answer to. Maybe someone can give the answer. Yes. Yeah. He said that there are servants who dust the walls and the furniture, but there's no dust in the spiritual sky. It's devotional service.
Oh. Dust is there or not there. Krishna Lord's definition. Mm. And it gives pleasure to Lakshmi, also gives pleasure to the Lord. Mm. Oh, she's working so hard for to please me. She also feels, oh, he noticed that I'm trying to please. He's nourishes. Mm. He's not just us or not.
Rupangavinda Prabhu is clarifying, just so everybody can hear on through the sound, that it's not a question of whether there is dust or not dust in the spiritual sky, but it's that the devotional service that's performed, the devotee is performing because it's attractive to the Lord. They want to attract the attention of the Lord, and the Lord is also, and they are also, that's, it's a basis of relationship and mutual attraction.
Well, if there is dust in the spiritual world, it dusts itself. And then the devotees do it just to please Krishna.
So, thank you for the nice class. The Mataji was asking, we're in the spiritual world and why we come to this miserable world. So really, it's like when we develop the idea of wanting to experience complete independence. When you want to experience independence, you know, not dependent upon the Lord anymore, then you're thrown into this material world. You're independent here, take it. See how it goes.
Well, Hare Krishna. Thank you for all the nice points. I like the idea of how you said that, you know, because I think a lot of devotees can relate to this, I can relate to this, that we become frustrated in the material world, we find that there's no really happiness, and then somehow through the devotee's mercy, through Prabhupada's mercy of distributing, you know, writing books and printing them and distributing them, we come to find something higher than what we found in the material world, what they educate us in schools and, you know, all the institutions, you know, happiness is through having the most money and all these things, and we come to, that's futile, we realize that there's no real happiness in that, and so we become depressed. Many people commit suicide. They become drug addicts, such and such. But like you said, because this wonderful knowledge and the devotee's mercy, they go out and they give it to those. And then those who are ready, those who are open, they can understand that. And you also mentioned a point how Krishna, he has many different points when he performs an activity. You can see that with one activity, he can affect millions, if not billions, of living entities just by one action. So the Lord is so omnipotent and omnipresent that his ability to affect world cataclysm activities just by one action, and it affects people differently based upon their realization. So again, thank you for all the nice points that gave us an opportunity to think.
Thank you.
Hi. What thing left?
Yes.
In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabodhananda Saraswati says that one who has received the the merciful glance of Lord Chaitanya, we have that opportunity every day. So for him, Vishvam Purnam Sukhayate, that this world is full of transcendental happiness because there's so much service here to do, and this is a life of the devotees, so you just have to accept this merciful glance of Lord Chaitanya, and we can be very happy.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. This will be the last.
Yes, a lot of good points have been discussed today. Thank you. And when Ekadasi said that our expectations are always thwarted, we have this unrealistic expectation of pursuing happiness here. I remember someone said, like, the Himalayas, Himalaya means a place of ice. And you wouldn't go there for sunbathing or enjoying a day in the sun. So also Krishna certifies this material world as Dukkhalaya, a place of suffering. So it's kind of ludicrous to expect anything different or to be frustrated that suffering occurs. Of course, that topic of suffering is, it's one thing to feel pain, but it's optional to feel suffering, right? That's a whole other discussion. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Itai Gaur Premanandi.